B-Pod Studios.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Media Group Station. Sports Hub Headlines.
The Calgary Flames came to Boston last night to wrap up a 7-game road trip. You'd think they'd be tired and ready to fly home, but unfortunately for the Bruins, the Flames were ready to play.
Forward on it along the near side. Flicked it up the near side. Held in by the Flames. Long shot coming in. It's fired. They score. Far side. Drilled home by Gaudreau. Took a rebound at the far dot and ripped it by Swayman. Flames out to a 1-0 lead.
That's Judd Surratt here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's also the beginning of a very long night for the Bruins during a 4-0 loss to the best team in the Western Conference. Former Bruins goaltender Dan Vladar turned in the shutout. Bruins visit Buffalo on Wednesday night. As for the Patriots, they didn't play after a win on Thursday night in Atlanta. And as of this morning, they're in first place in the AFC East because Buffalo got hammered in their own building by Indianapolis, 41-15. Patriots are 7-4. They host Tennessee this Sunday, and the Titans dropped to 8-3. They lost at home to Houston, 22-13. Celtics continue their 4-game homestand tonight against the worst team in the NBA, the 1-15 Houston Rockets. Jaylen Brown, Robert Williams, and Dennis Schroeder are all expected to play. Grandy and Max have the pregame at 7 and the tip-off at 7:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And in soccer news, New York City FC beat Atlanta United FC 2-0, and that sends them on to play the top-seeded New England Revolution in Foxborough a week from tomorrow night in the MLS playoffs. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Reunite with friends at the Nines this Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. Enjoy 59-cent bone-in wings and $5.99 appetizers at the bar from 2 to close. The 99, always the real deal. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 9:30.
Make your smart speaker sports smart.
Of course they're saying goblins. It could be nothing else.
Listen to the Sports Hub anywhere on Alexa or your Google smart speaker.
Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening. You are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Everybody, we're the Toucher and Rich radio program. Rich is going to the Celtics tonight. I think I'm going to go to the Celtics on Wednesday.
Nice.
My son would much prefer to go see the Celtics.
You got you have Houston tonight. They're 1-15. They've lost 14 in a row. You get Brooklyn Wednesday night. That should be an interesting game, to
so,
say the least.
So why do I have this weird feeling in my stomach that because the Celtics play so high up to their competition, like when you saw them against the Lakers, it's, as I said, I was almost more discouraged than encouraged.
Well, because Tatum cared?
Because yeah, I hate that like people turn on that I care and they don't. I don't think these people are superhuman. I don't think every game they can play.
No, they don't.
They can't. But at least, you know, instead of playing, you know, at like 10, you know, at 10 on the scale and then the other games at like 3 on a scale, can you just give us like 7 to 8 every night?
Well, you get...
Wouldn't you want that at least?
You get Robert Williams and Jaylen Brown back tonight, and that should be helpful. I mean, the Celtics have figured it out without the two of them on the floor. Now you insert them back in. obviously two very good defensive players, or a team that was playing defense pretty well the last couple of weeks. So you hope inserting those two guys back in doesn't ruin whatever chemistry they have. But Celtics are playing well.
They look really good.
7 out of 10 now.
Yep.
After a 2-5 start. So you guys are going to watch them at just the right time.
Yeah. Because I was going to go to the Bruins game on Friday, but I think my son would prefer seeing the Celtics.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to get to see Kevin Durant. You're going to get to see the guys that aren't Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one's going to throw a water bottle. Kyrie's not there, so it should be fine.
Oh, no, no. I'm throwing all kinds
of good.
Stuff.
Okay.
That's the plan.
That's the way you're rolling?
Yeah. I want to get labeled racist and by committing an act that really has no effect on anyone.
Did that guy, what happened to that guy? He got fined? What happened?
I mean, he's who's cow?
I mean, he was public enemy number one for a long time.
I know.
If you remember all of that.
I mean, to throw an empty plastic water bottle is, I mean, really unheard of. Really above and beyond what's acceptable.
I got to be honest. When I saw LeBron James punch, what's his name, Stewart in the face.
Isaiah Stewart.
And it was a punch. I mean, there's no question.
By the way, this guy, the guy isn't like a scrub. He's the starting center for Detroit. He should have been on the floor.
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, the minute I saw that, it was pretty wild that the guy over the speaker immediately knew, please do not leave your seats because of what had happened in the past. Right. And I'm just wondering if that would have happened at the TD Garden. Like, you know, I mean, if LeBron James would have come to the TD Garden and let's say he punched Robert Williams in the face and ripped open his face the way that it happened with Stewart, dude, it would have been insanity. It would have been absolute insanity.
I will tell you this, is that in Detroit, they liked the Red Wings as much, if not more, when they weren't winning cups. When they had Probert and Kosher and those guys, because they fought constantly, they liked them almost more than the teams that were like those perennial cup winners that were basically Hall of Fame teams.
Sure, if you're not going to win, have attitude and be entertaining.
Just they like violence, like a lot. And so that guy, whoever got hit, Stewart is going to forever be now. Like loved. I mean, the pure venom and violence. I haven't been to the new Little Caesars Arena. I have no idea what it is. Have you been there, John?
No.
So
the last Detroit game I did was at the Palace.
I know where it is. So I know where the Little Caesars, but I've never been there, so I don't know what the crowd's like there.
Uh-huh.
It's certainly not old school. But, yeah, I mean, the threat of violence is always there. I'm sure that when the crowd saw him going crazy, they were like, all right, let's start doing it ourselves. Let's insert ourselves into this situation.
Well, that's why I was sitting and waiting. I'm like, oh boy, and they didn't. Which I guess it's obviously good. It's a better thing. I understand for the game and all that. But I mean, when they were leading LeBron James off the court, I was thinking to myself, oh, this could.
Did they throw
really
anything
bad.
At him?
No,
not that I
saw. Not a thing.
No.
So if they would have thrown things at him, would that have been considered racist? Even though it was LeBron James that hit an African American man in the face. Would be throwing debris at a guy who had just sucker punched one of your team's players and he was looking for justice. Would it be excused as human behavior of trying to, you know, seek some sort of pound of flesh from a man hurting a man on your team and not being not getting the comeuppance that he deserved? Or would it have been considered some kind of race baiting incident? Because one would have to think that the human emotion took over and they were just throwing crap at LeBron James.
The craziest thing about that Malice in the Palace video is, and I'd completely forgotten about the second half of it until I saw that documentary, was just like the random fat guys who were picking fights with players.
Yeah.
Who just came onto the court. It was like, what are you going to do against Ron Artest?
Exactly. But the idea that they still are proud of themselves.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's still like their greatest day.
Yeah, they're like really proud of themselves, too. Like they're tough guys that would have beat up Ron Artest.
Right. Remember when I walked up to Ron Artest and did nothing?
No, they put their dukes up.
Yeah, oh, sure.
You know, from a safe distance.
They did the old, you know, fighting Irish.
Just one day it would be funny if you were officiating a game and you just went like, you know what, go ahead and kick his ass. Just go
Ron, I won't kick you out. You have every right to kick this dude's
ass. No, we'll kick
ass.
You out, but go kick LeBron James' ass.
Get your money's worth. Yeah.
Like if you're on the Pistons, just let him go. Let him go. Let him beat him up. Because he's a younger guy. He's a younger guy, bigger guy.
Yeah, he just got drafted last year.
Yeah, so
he's 20, right?
Yeah, so he's all wound up. LeBron's not, so he's got all that adrenaline going.
I love that LeBron's having this awful weekend. It was not only the Michelle Beadle thing that I call, where she said that LeBron tried to get her fired from ESPN, one of the people who was rallying because she didn't like the decision.
They get stomped in Boston.
Yep, they get stomped in Boston. On top of that, not only was there the fight where he took that to call it a cheap shot, he punched a guy in the face and bloodied up his face. It was as cheap a shot as you can have in the NBA. And then there was Enes Kanter, who before the game in Boston called him out for his shoes being made in China and said, you know, you talk about a big game about human rights. Well, what about your shoes being made in China? And then it was, I will say this, and Enes Kanter should have talked to him at the game.
Should have talked to him at the game, or should...
Because there's a video of him like walking right by LeBron James, and LeBron James afterwards was asked about it. Like, did you see Enes Kanter? And he goes, something along the lines of, that guy's just trying to use my name to make to give himself publicity, and I'm not even going to... He had a chance to talk to me, and he walked right by.
But Kanter also won't speak to the media about this.
Sure he will. He was on CNN yesterday.
No, but he won't speak to the the reporters around the... Or if he was on CNN yesterday, it might be the first time he's addressed it.
He called out Michael Jordan. He said Michael Jordan's never done anything for the black community. Like Enes Kanter is he's got a flamethrower. And to be quite honest, the LeBron James stuff I thought was really interesting.
If you're Michael Jordan, you can stop making Jordans.
That's kind of where he's coming from.
I kind of hope they don't stop making Jordans.
Yeah, so
I have a lot of them.
The Enes Kanter audio, maybe we pull it, because I don't want to paraphrase him improperly, but he went crazy on Jordan, obviously the whole LeBron James thing. But that was the only thing I was disappointed with Enes Kanter, is there was a moment where he could have talked to him, and he walked right by him. He saw him on the court and didn't say a thing, and so LeBron was able to use that against Enes afterwards. But outside of that, man, it has been a bad, bad weekend for people who love LeBron James.
Yeah, I don't know how much...
He has looked like an a-hole all weekend long.
I don't know how his relationship with Nike really is something that makes him look bad, considering the whole league is in bed with Nike. I don't know why it's his fault. Why is it LeBron's fault that he's doing stuff with Nike? Like, why him? Like, there's a whole...
Because he's one of the biggest names.
But not... Well, calling out Jordan's smart, because he's one of the biggest names, but he's not Jordan.
No, but he's second Jordan.
I mean, because big-time NBA players put out Jordans. Like, it's their version of Jordans.
Yo, sure.
I mean, they can't all be Yeezys.
Sure.
Beautiful, puffy yellow shoes. If you're buying Yeezys, I got no time for you. I got no idea why you're wearing those shoes. They're ugly.
This is great. Someone said, can you imagine if LeBron did that to Jokic?
No.
No, Jokic would just go, okay, never leave your house without a
a bodyguard.
Yeah.
He would just snap his fingers, and here come the, the Barbarian Twins of whatever place.
Don't get the Barbarian Twins. They had muscles for the ladies. They had muscles just so the ladies could caress them. The Barbarian Twins were all about laying pipe, not throwing pipes.
I guess the Barbarian Twins hung around Rhode Island for a while.
Sure, they did.
So we started talking about the Barbarian Twins, and people were sending us videos of the Barbarian Twins later on in life.
Yeah, they probably went down to Newport. They probably had a yacht.
They're wearing the Rhode Island jean shorts.
Yeah, it was the Barbarian Twins and the Barbie Twins.
Sounds right.
They all had a yacht together, the B Twins. Just was B Twins, and it was the Barbarian Twins and riding mopeds around, being in Loverboy.
Oh, unfortunately, one of the Barbarian Twins died last year.
That's too bad.
Well, you don't like to hear that.
No, you don't want to hear that.
All right, Mike Giardi is going to join us. He covers the Patriots for the NFL Network. It's been so long. So long since he has talked to us. We look forward to talking to him in just a moment.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, yeah. And like, oh yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, we are the Toucher and Rich radio program. And Mike Giardi has not been on the show in many months.
Mm-hmm.
Many months. He's over there at the NFL Network, where there's a guy who says he doesn't pee for 7 hours.
Who's that?
Did you read that, Mike?
Yeah, I had them, right?
Yeah,
those red zone guys can't go to the bathroom.
Is Red Zone the NFL Network?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, this guy from the Red Zone, not Siciliano, the other guy.
Oh yeah, Scott Hansen, is that right?
Yeah. He left the music industry, and he now so he
left his two brothers behind.
Yeah, well, I mean, they still live together, but they but the thing that he said is that it's so grueling what he does, is that he will dehydrate himself the morning of the broadcast, and then in the 5 minutes he has before he goes on the air, before the 7 hours, he will then urinate, and then he will not urinate again for 7 hours. So he's building himself. He's almost Skip Bayless in his
monk-like physical restraint.
Yeah, his physical preparation for what he has to do. Well, Mike, it's nice to talk to you.
I cheat like every 10 minutes as a hold. So, you know. I guess I couldn't do that job.
No, I couldn't do it either, nor do I think it's necessary. I think that if you were gone for, 45 seconds, I don't think it would blow the whole operation up, but it's nice to have a good opinion of yourself.
I know what I want to start with, if you don't mind.
All right.
Okay, because we've been talking this last week about how, with the Patriots, there's the big storyline that the NFL Network, ESPN, and all of the different media people are latching onto, and it is a good storyline, is about Bill Belichick's redemption. After last year, everybody gave Tom Brady all of this credit and said it was all Tom Brady and it wasn't Bill Belichick. And then after the last couple of games, everyone's saying, well, I mean, what's more impressive? What Bill, could be doing this season or what Tom did last year? I'm not going to ask you about that. What I am going to ask you is about, do you think that on not only the NFL Network, but all of the different media, do you think things have gotten a little out of control, or are they right where they should be when it comes to the praise of the Patriots?
No, we've gotten a little out of control. I mean, it's been a great rise, right? Obviously 2-4, and things are like, oh boy, are we running through another season like you did last year? And then to go on this 5-game win streak and then have some things break your way, with some opponents in the AFC, and all of a sudden, you're atop the AFC East. But like, there was a comment last week about Mac Jones is from the neck up is like the greatest thing since sliced bread. Like it was something crazy. And I was like, can we just, why does everything have to be so extreme? Mac has been really good, good at times, really good at times. And also it has had some valleys, and like, that's part of being a rookie quarterback in this league. So it doesn't, I don't know why everything has to be extreme. It's just like, there is gray in this. It's not just black and white. There's gray in there. And for some reason, we don't ever want to talk about the gray.
All right. So Adam Jones does the show with Tim McCone, right?
Adam Jones works with Christian Arcan.
I'm sorry, Christian night. Arcan. So Christian Arcan was on yesterday, and he had a guy on from like one of these papers, like in another state, New England state. And then the guy, they're like, so what do you think about the Patriots? He goes, well, they haven't played anyone. So let's start with that. And I was like, yeah.
Was he interviewing Adam Jones?
No, because
I was going to say, that sounds like it was Adam Jones interviewing Adam Jones.
But it was Christian Arcan, and it was funny because he's like, I got this guy on from like the whatever paper, like North Conway paper.
Sure.
And the guy starts off with, and he goes, well, what do you think of this winning streak? And he goes, well, they haven't played anyone, first of all. So he goes, bad teams. So I was like, yeah. I'm like, at least there's one dissenting voice among all of this. All right, but when you look around the AFC, I mean, listen, it's a 17-game season, and the way the media is now, I mean, there's so much time to fill. You have to almost react week to week, even though that's a fool's errand. But now that it is interesting to see how things have settled, and the Patriots are certainly in that. How vulnerable is Tennessee right now? How vulnerable is Buffalo right now? Are you buying the Buffalo collapse? Let's start with Buffalo. Are you buying, because they're not injured? Are you buying the Buffalo collapse?
Buffalo's offense has been sort of hit or miss all year long, and it's really surprising after the year they had last year. And then I thought that they made some improvements to get even better this year, but I think they can't run the ball, or they don't try to run the ball. And Josh Allen has, regression is too big a word here, too strong a word, but he hasn't played to the level he did last year. And that team is really built around him being this dynamic playmaker. You know, watching the game yesterday, just some really bad decisions that turned into turnovers, which turned the game on its heels really quickly. And all of a sudden you're down, you know, 24-7, 31-7, whatever it was. And that's that. So, they've got some soul searching to do there to sort of figure out A, how to get Josh back to where he is, and B, what's their identity? Cause
yeah, well,
I think they ran the ball 8 times yesterday to their running backs, which is, I mean, I know the game got lopsided, but you can still run the football even when you're down a couple touchdowns.
And it's funny because when you look at how they built that roster, it's like, do you have some aversion to a running back that weighs over 190 pounds? Like, it's like, do you have, like,
I think Moss technically is 200, but that's all right.
Well, before the season with a couple weights in his pocket, right. I mean, these guys are 5'7. And then it's like they have the two backs, then they have their speedster, and you're like, what's the speedster? 5'2? So it's kind of amazing when they built that roster that they didn't think, you know, maybe to have some sort of power back just to sprinkle in occasionally. So I see that. Tennessee, the injury to Derrick Henry, the injury to Julio Jones. We'll see what's happening with AJ Brown. But with those injuries, are they still an elite team without those two playmakers?
No.
Okay.
No. They're even. I give them a lot of credit for winning the previous couple games without Derrick Henry before what happened yesterday. But if you watch those games, I mean, their offense is. It's just a dramatic difference, as it should be, right? Derrick Henry is, if not the best running back in the league, the second best running back in the league, and everything they do offensively centers around him and touching the ball 30 times a game in the play action. But, you know, they're throwing a bunch of running backs at this, including Adrian Peterson, and none of that's really worked so far. And I think you sort of saw, you know, they got into a hole yesterday, and then it became a Ryan Tannehill game, and Tannehill's not played he's not played to the level he had in the previous 2 years this year. And then in particular, these last 3 weeks without Derrick Henry, it's been a real struggle for him. He's got as many interceptions this year as he has in the last two combined. So there's some problems there. You know, I don't fault them for going to get Julio Jones. I thought the Patriots should have been in on that. They weren't. Well, as of right now, that doesn't look like that was a good idea for the Titans. He hasn't given them anything. A.J. Brown is basically hurt every week, mm-hmm. which is a shame because he's a tremendous player and a young player, sort of a rising player. But if they come in here next weekend, if A.J. Brown can't play, I don't know that you could name their top three receivers. Like, legitimately, right. I don't think you could look down. Who's that? Who's that guy? Marcus Johnson?
Like, sure.
There's a lot of trouble there.
Where do you put, getting back to the Patriots for a second. I mean, 2019, the Patriots defense was great. Then they ran into Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, and it didn't look as great. This year, especially the last three games, I mean, they've looked fantastic. Now, if you're going to go anywhere, you're going to have to run into Mahomes.
They didn't play anyone.
Right, they didn't play anyone. you're going to run into a good quarterback sooner or later. Is this defense as good as we think it is?
I think it is. I really do. I mean, I still have a little bit of concern about corner. You know, I still think that they should have figured out a way to work something out with Stephon Gilmore. They didn't. But that's really my only concern about that unit. I think their front seven's been playing awesome. I think if you look at the win streak, to me, that's as much a reason for it as anything. You know, they early in the year, they couldn't stop the run, which was a continuation of last year. And I said it so many times last year, like it was like emasculating for them last year to not be able to stop the run. When you know some team just wants to be physical with you and you can't do anything
about it. San Francisco.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was embarrassing. Yeah,
it's like it's soul-crushing. And early in the year, they were running into sort of the same thing. And you're like, are they about to go through this after the money they spent? But they have found sort of the cohesion up front, and I think they've been awesome. I think Christian Barmore, like we talk a ton about Mac Jones. Christian Barmore, if we did a redraft, Christian Barmore is a top 15 pick, maybe a top 10 pick. That's how good he's been. And I just, that whole group, you know, Hightower's coming around. Bentley's in the right role for him. And obviously Judon's probably been their, he's probably been their best player this year.
Now, you've covered this team for a while now. Is it weird seeing Bill Belichick in this good of a mood?
Look, based on how last year went, and just the numerous challenges that last year presented, and then to see this year sort of struggle, like even back in August, I know talking to some guys on the beat, we're like, what do we do to him? Because like nothing's really happened, and he hates us like as much as he always hates us. And sometimes you guys can pinpoint why he hates us. Like, well, there's this narrative, or he's getting asked this question quite a bit, and he doesn't want to want to talk about that, so he just he shuts it all off. I just think he really likes his team. I think he likes the work the team has put in. I think the buy-in that he's gotten from the team. I think there's just a certain feeling about it. Like, okay, we struggled for a year and a half, and that was tough for all of them because the bar has been set so high, and now to sort of get rolling again and feeling like looking around the room, like we're not even where we're going to be yet. Like, I think that breeds a lot of confidence and some general happiness from the curmudgeonly Bill.
Yeah. Well, listen, he's going to have Mac Jones for 18 years, according to Aikman. So
that's right.
When he's about
when you're coaching at 87, do you have to wear a diaper? Like, what happens then?
I've seen Paterno patrol the sidelines.
He just looked lost. Like, yeah, he didn't look like anywhere.
No headset.
No headset, and he was not talking to anyone on the field. That's for sure. He was off on his own. All right, Mike Giardi, watch him on the NFL Network. We appreciate the time, and feel free to urinate.
Thank you. It's time. It's time again.
That's an albatross for another man. All right, thank you, Mike Giardi. There you go. Thank you. So maybe, if the Tennessee is this broken team, and Buffalo is lost, maybe it's Baltimore, Kansas City, and the Patriots.
Maybe, and again, Mike made a very good point. Buffalo doesn't run the football. And if they do, it's Josh Allen on a scramble somewhere.
No, they don't.
They don't run it at all.
No, and they built that team. They have no power running game. They don't have an option at running back to be a power running team. They can't do that. They cannot do that. So, you're not concerned about Cincinnati. You're not concerned about the Chargers. You've already beat them. The Steelers,
No.
The Steelers are pretty banged
Colts,
up last night.
The Colts I'm concerned about. I think they can creep their way in and do something. As I said.
That might just be the shiny thing that's in front of you, though.
But it's been consistent. Like, for the last, 5 or 6 weeks, they started off 0-3, and now they're where they're at.
Jonathan Taylor is in the top five in the MVP
but
candidate.
But Belichick can take away if you're one-dimensional.
I would rather have Carson Wentz try and beat me.
Ooh, I wonder where Josh Allen is now in the MVP odds, because I think until yesterday, wasn't he still first?
He was still number one.
But he can't be now.
Well, no, now it's Mac Jones. Mac Jones minus 4,000. Christian Barmore is minus 2,000.
Right there behind him.
Yep. And then that's the way it goes.
No, but you're right. That guy from the Colts, Johnson, right? He might end up... Jonathan Taylor. I'm sorry. I just immediately, when you say that, I think Home Improvement and Hunks. But unfortunately, it looks like he's going
to be... Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Oh, of course. JTT, I used to call him.
Yeah, I was watching the Last Man Standing last night in between football.
Mm-hmm.
The Tim Allen vehicle. Jonathan Taylor Thomas comes in. He owns the restaurant. He comes in. He's got it together. He gives a woo! He comes on screen. Yeah, JTT.
Because you can't give it to Aaron Rodgers this year, right? Like, no one's going to vote for Aaron Rodgers.
Now, from what I see, it's Brady, who's the current leader.
Okay.
At plus 400.
Okay.
Because that's where Josh Allen used to be. He was plus 400.
Now Josh Allen is plus 2,000.
Oh, wow.
From what I'm looking at right in front of me.
That's quite a drop. Is he still second?
No. Dak Prescott is second, but again, that's... I don't know
that, if that they're going to find a way to craft themselves. Yeah. I mean, it's the most predictable thing ever. Dallas is going to find a way to craft
Stafford
themselves.
Third, Rodgers fourth.
All right. Well, when he gets on the McAfee show, you'll hear what Rodgers has to say because he finally can loosen up and he doesn't have to talk to the dorks in the regular press. He can talk to some guy who gets it. Some guy who's been there on the gridiron.
He's dealing with turf toe after losing to the Bears yesterday.
Not
the
bad. Bears. He said it's very bad turf toe.
That was the best to him telling everyone exactly how painful that toe was afterwards.
It's not normal turf toe. He's never had it like this
before.
It's very
painful, guys. I'm barely moving around out there. Thank you for sharing that. That's good.
I wonder if there was just a way for 3 hours they could take care of that for you.
I wonder if he's going to go to a doctor or just call Joe Rogan.
Good question.
Joey Rogues. Yeah, have his girlfriend go collect some herbs from the garden.
Just rub his chew on clay. That might take care of it.
Or mine or go in and get water from a stream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is exactly what they do. That's exactly how they consume water. She takes buckets and goes to a stream. And that's how they bathe. She just time 100 buckets a day. She's just going to a stream,
chugging on polywogs.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Oh no, we source our water from streams. Yeah. I go out to the streams. So you go out with a 20 gallon bucket and just keep going back and back and back. Every time you bathe is in stream water.
It's the only way to do it.
All right, Rich, we have the stack. The show's already coming to an end. We have the stack. What's coming up in that?
Well, first of all, we have an awesome article from someone who is really angry that the Patriots are good again. On top of that, Fred, it's time to make our final judgment with clear audio evidence in Fart Court.
All right.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
All right, so much to look forward to.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Oh, yeah, it's that time. It's Usher and Rich radio program. Rich, what's going on?
All right, after having an inconclusive judgment, it's time to submit new evidence into the court. We needed a crystal clean version of this, and our listeners stepped up. It's time for Fart Court to reconvene. Brand new unblemished audio from last night's Sunday Night Football. Chris Collinsworth, Al Michaels in the booth, calling the Steelers versus Chargers. And there was a moment that, to be quite honest, only John Wall could conclusively say it was a fart. That's... Now, I think Fred and I believe that it's a fart, but we just need conclusive evidence, and I don't think it's fair to the court system to have it to be muddled audio.
No, it was a fart. I don't know where it was coming from, so that needs to be...
So this has got to be like, you remember how like people listened to the tape, you know, at the grassy knoll, they could tell which direction it came in? There was directional mics. So you're saying with our headset right now, we're imagining the microphone in between the two of them.
Well, it could have come from anywhere. It could have been from the field mic. It could have been from anywhere.
I mean, this is the classic whodunit when it comes right down to it.
It was such a avalanche of audio, I couldn't decipher it, but here we go.
Hey, Ray! You're down! 44!
So a near pick, near catch, second down and 10.
Ooh, that's even better in Dolby Stereo.
Al Michaels farted into the microphone while staring at Chris Collinsworth.
Ooh, that is a 5.1 right there. That is a full-on flipping the deck of cards.
Hey, Ray!
really fan.
So I think you just added there. That's the beginning of Kickstart My Heart. That's the motorcycle revving up right there.
Yeah, that's Al Michaels just staring at Chris Collinsworth and saying, here we go. And then going here for the boys in Boston. Here's one for your collection. He just went, put it on the air.
And does it sound like the other Al Michaels fart? Oh, my God. I mean, it's the exact. It's,
told you.
I mean, it's like thumbprints.
No.
It's like matching fart prints.
No, I mean, he farted. He farted into the microphone.
Yes. All right. Well, then it's time to judge.
He took off his headphones and farted into the microphone.
Al Michaels? Guilty.
Yeah, he farted. And it was Al Michaels, and he took off the headset. And
Al
he
Michaels
into it.
In the library with the wrench.
And he stared, and I can tell you what he was doing. He was staring at Chris Collinsworth, just staring at him.
Watch I this. Dare you to break.
Yep, and then Collinsworth probably reached over and turned off his microphone.
Yep.
And was like, all right, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. We're going down together.
Let's do it. All right, well, good. We have officially found them guilty. Fantastic. Or not them, him. Collinsworth, I think he's way too... Like, he's way too fit, I believe.
His shoulders are too sloped.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, so one of our favorite writers and a guy we love having on the show, Drew McGarry, he is someone who can't stand the Patriots.
Yes, and much to the Patriots' frustration, I mean, the fans of the Patriots do not like these articles.
No, and this is a guy who also is his own defeatist because he's been a Vikings fan, and there's nobody who hates his own team more than he does, except for you, Fred, with of course.
Yes.
Now, yesterday he was pleasantly surprised with how things turned out, but we all know it's going to be doom and gloom for that Vikings team. So he wrote an article for, of all things, the San Francisco newspaper, because there's a little bit of a tie-in there. Should they have gone and gotten Mac Jones and, you know, traded up all their picks, but they ended up going with Trey Lance instead. The article titled, "Everyone Loves One-Time 49ers Draft Flame Mac Jones, and for that, Mankind Must Pay." He says, starts the article by saying, "Let's get right to the pain. The New England Patriots are the hottest team in football. They've won 5 games in a row by an aggregate score of 175-50, and they've won their last 3 games by an even more dominant margin, 94-13. If the Buffalo Bills lose to the Angel of Death, Jonathan Taylor, and the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday, which they did, the Patriots will reassume their long-standing place atop the AFC East, perhaps for another 20 years running. And it makes me want to effing puke. By law, we should have been granted a break from the Patriots, from all of New England in general, for 50 years. Minimum. That is the debt that was owed. But no, we have to endure yet another round of Boston fans getting drunk on their own erections, and it's all because of this dork." And he put a picture of Mac Jones as a child model with, like, the tennis racket.
With the super short tie.
Yep.
I mean, talk about your parents pushing you. Like that's a child model?
Yeah.
I mean, all right.
He said, "That's quarterback Mac Jones, the darling of the NFL consciente, who is now my mortal enemy and must be disposed of with all due haste. You know the background already. Jones won a national title at Alabama last year during a disgrace of a pandemic-ravaged college football season. His draft stock rose after that to the point where he appeared to be a lock to go in the top 3. Kyle Shanahan traded away half of Santa Clara County to move up to a top 3 slot, keeping his plans hidden from everyone and leaving Niners fans scared to absolute death that this paperboy from 1956 would be their quarterback of the future. Then the Niners drafted Trey Lance. Jones fell all the way down to the Pats at number 15, and we all had a good hearty laugh. I'm not laughing anymore. We have a problem now because the Patriots are hot blank and Jones has become the standout rookie quarterback amongst a desultory 2021 class, Lance included. Already the overpraising industrial complex has come to claim Jones. I had to listen to Chris Collinsworth all but adopt him live on the air in the Patriots' Sunday Night Football loss to their former quarterback Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks. On Thursday night, I had to hear Troy Aikman say, with a straight face, that Pat's coach Belichick doesn't have to retire anytime soon because, quote, he's got his signal caller for the next 15 to 18 years, which has cemented my long gestating theory that Troy Aikman drinks in the booth.
Well, he does. They do. They have beer.
And I had to read Senior Bowl director Jim Nagy fawn over Mike Jones like the guy is a direct descendant of effing Isaac Newton. Quote, The point that was made a lot during the pre-draft process was that Mac was a really smart player. That's so underselling him. That's like saying Michael Vick was a fast quarterback, or like saying John Elway had a strong arm. Oh, I'm sorry. I blacked out halfway through reading that quote and woke up strangling my dog. My apologies. For the rest of the season, I'm going to have to stand by with a bucket of cold water and throw it on the NFL media. Never mind that during their current streak, the Patriots have beaten exactly one team that currently has a winning record. It's two teams after yesterday. I'll just add that. Never mind that
Are you Cleveland?
Yes, of course, Cleveland.
After the mighty victory.
It was a huge victory.
The home victory against Detroit. Yeah.
Hard fought. But Baker not embarrassed at all by it.
No, no.
Never mind that the team they played on Thursday, the Atlanta Falcons, played like they had been informed of their release 5 minutes prior to kickoff. Never mind that Mac Jones is a QBR lower than that of, who's that? Jimmy Garoppolo. And never mind that Jones is succeeding because his coach runs a grade school offense for him. This is why Jones currently sits at fifth in the Pro Football Focus quarterback metrics, and he goes through all of these crazy things and talks about how, Matthew Judon, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, it's possible that Jones will get better. Rookies tend to do this. But I would prefer the NFL ecosystem to save their drooling for when and if he does. I didn't need them to rush to the altar with this howdy-doody-ass country bumpkin. But they have, and never inclined to tone it down. They're only going to grow more infatuated with Mac Jones as we go on. Can you believe he fell that far in the draft? I bet Kyle Shanahan is kicking himself. Why wasn't the rest of the NFL as excited to draft a rote pocket passer as the Patriots were? Another masterstroke from Emperor Belichick. I hate this. I want to die. I want every other rookie quarterback to suddenly be good to blot out the Mac Jones effect, but I already know that is not happening. I cannot stop this process by conventional means. Already our most tiresome professional Boston fanboys are back on their BS. Bill Simmons is bragging about his new quarterback to anyone walking by with loose change. It's all happening again already, which means that you and I are left with only one choice. We must destroy the world. You know it's the right thing to do. The only surefire way to keep Mac Jones out of my life is by all of us dying. So come with me now. Let us join hands in front of this Wiccan shrine I just built, and let us pray now for nuclear holocaust.
Awesome.
Let the end come both suddenly and swiftly so that Belichick can't game plan for it. And may it sear the shadow of Mac's tennis sweater into the ground, leaving no other trace of him behind. It's what God wants. In the meantime, say something nice to me about Mac Jones, and I'll drop you off a bridge. So there you go.
And what's hysterical, what's great about that is it pisses the fans off.
Oh, this is like, fantastic. They should make you happy.
Like, people read that, and they're like, he's always making fun of the Patriots. And you're like, yeah, it's funny.
Well, it's great, too, because...
You have no self-awareness as Patriots
fans.
You've
beaten this man into submission.
Your team is good enough to piss people off again. Isn't that what you want?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. No, but it's not enough. Great. It's not enough. Mac Jones has got to be Montana now. It's not enough. It's not enough that we're winning. Mac Jones, no. No. Redraft. Redraft. We're going to redraft. If you're going to do the draft again, if you're going to redraft.
I just love how he said he looks like a paper boy from the 1950s.
Yeah. He's a big, stupid hick.
Howdy doody. Is he this howdy doody hick?
That is a little ridiculous. Saying that he's smart is like saying Michael Vick was fast. Like he's so smart. He's so brilliant.
That's really funny.
Yeah, but what's great about it is that if I'm a Patriots fan, I'm reading it.
You gotta love it.
No, I think it was funny.
Drink my tears, clown. That should be your reaction.
I would think it was funny, but the whole defensiveness of the Patriot fan base, and I have read a lot of response to this. Mm-hmm. Is they're like legitimately mad at him, and like about like how lazy it was. Well, he was writing for San Francisco.
Was brilliant. Kidding me?
Well, let's not go crazy.
Thought it was great.
Well, McGarry,
he's throwing brilliant around a lot. But.
McGarry does a good job doing that while your team sucks at the beginning of the season. He's got away with words, but I think that it's truly... And by the way, he's saying what most of the country thinks. I mean, for years... I mean, obviously, you take a look at...
The thing about the NFL media, and it is by it's, you have to, it's by its own insistence, is that you have to react... If you general managers do not react week to week... They do not plan week to general managers don't plan week to week.
Yeah.
They have a long-term 3-year plan. But what everyone does is after every week of the NFL season, they have to you know, like set up their troops again. They have to like, you know, redo all their, like they have to redo everything. Like that's not how teams are made. You know, things don't get judged 10 weeks in, which is, I'll be honest with you. I agree with the thing I agree with McGarry about there. And I agree with him is the insistence upon Mac Jones is infuriating. It really is.
Well, you can say that this guy has been, you know, even like he's exceeded expectations.
Yes.
You can go that far.
Yes.
But I mean, he's right. For the people who are all of a sudden saying that he might be the smartest player.
Yes.
I mean, and comparing it to Mike Vick being fast. I mean, that, and I hate Pump Your Brakes radio. I've always hated it. I hate whenever anything good happens, like, pump your brakes. No, it's no fun. But this is one of those instances where it's like, man, you got to calm down.
Like, you're going to redraft the quarterback class after 10 games? All right.
I mean, maybe not first, but second, you can probably.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, listen, at least one of them done that.
Sure.
Well, we don't know that to be a fact.
I've not heard that from anyone in the New York media.
I've never heard that either. But
you have. You've heard it from Breer. Breer was in here disparaging Zach Wilson and saying we couldn't say it on the air. And to that, I say, well, then I don't believe you're. He's in bed with Meta. That's why. All right. Well, listen, if that article pissed you off, get a sense of humor.
That's very well written. Good job, Drew.
It's not about your mom, you know? It's about the team you like. But I do agree with the Mac Jones stuff, and that's why this week is great. It's because they played Thursday, and we can talk about the Patriots all you want. We don't have to talk about Mac Jones. And that is the greatest Thanksgiving. I'm giving thanks for that. All right. Everyone have a great day. That'll do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Visit the president of Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.